Good morning. I'm Elizabeth Harrison in Providence. Rhode Island lawmakers will consider legislation today aimed at increasing safety measures in public schools. The bills now in the House and Senate Education Committees would require school officials to work with law enforcement to look for weaknesses in school building security and craft new safety plans. Many parents and teachers became concerned about school safety after a shooter opened fire on unarmed teachers and students at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut. Debate on the bills comes as Connecticut lawmakers prepare to vote on a broad package of tough gun control measures in response to the shooting. A stream of witnesses yesterday called on the Senate Judiciary Committee to eliminate the practice of straight-ticket voting. Rhode Island is among a minority of states that allow voters to select all candidates from a single party with one mark on the ballot. Critics say the practice, also known as using the master lever, is outdated and offers an unfair advantage to the state's ruling Democrats. Daniel Slattery of the Charlestown Town Council was among the witnesses speaking against the master lever.
I don't think you're going to find anyone who disagrees with the concept of open and transparent government. But from my perspective, you can't have open and transparent government unless you have open and transparent elections.
The Judiciary Committee is holding the bill to eliminate straight-ticket voting for further study. Opponents of the practice say they plan to try to win the support of legislative leaders. Recreational fishing is a multi-million dollar industry in southern New England, but as Rhode Island Public Radio's Bradley Campbell reports, fishermen are keeping an eye on how climate change will alter their industry.
About 60 recreational fishermen from across New England gathered in Rhode Island to hear presentations on the economic importance of their industry. What had everyone talking, though, were the changes going on underwater. Officials from the Rhode Island Department of Environmental Management said warming water temperatures are changing the types of species fishermen can catch. The president of the Rhode Island Saltwater Anglers Association, Steve Medeiros, says it's important to hear about such changes and do whatever they can to protect the species with low stock levels.
I guess one important thing is we have to make sure that there are fish out there in healthy stocks in the future, or nobody's going to want to go fishing anymore.
Medeiros says his organization is crafting a plan to ensure recreational fishing will thrive for the next generation. Bradley Campbell, Rhode Island Public Radio.
And the alleged killer of a Woonsocket gas station manager is expected to ask a federal judge today to remove the death penalty from his case. Jason Plue is due in federal district court, where his lawyers are expected to argue that capital punishment is unconstitutional. Rhode Island, which has no death penalty, lost a custody battle with the federal government over Plue, who is charged with shooting David Main as he was making a bank deposit in Woonsocket.
I believe in the power of the ukulele.
I believe in teachers.
I believe in All the Way Full.
This, I believe.
I'm Frederick Reamer, host of This I Believe Rhode Island. I suppose this is a truism in all our lives. We grow up filled with dreams about where life will take us, or better yet, where we will take life. Some of our dreams come to fruition, yet sadly others are dashed in painful ways. Henry David Thoreau says in the conclusion of his book Walden, in which he details his 2-year experience living in his cabin near Walden Pond, "I learned this, at least by my experiment, that if one advances confidently in the direction of his dreams and endeavors to live the life which he has imagined, he will meet with a success unexpected in common hours." This week, we hear from Rabbi Ilan Babchuk about his own dashed dreams and how they've taught him how to live a life with real meaning.
I believe that life is too short to waste time doing what we think others want us to do. I came to believe this in June of 2003, around my 21st birthday. My father and I pulled into the driveway returning from a white-knuckled joyride around the neighborhood, with me at the wheel of my shiny new Audi. Were it not for the adrenaline rush of driving a car that I could barely control, I would have been just as queasy as my father, who was undergoing heavy doses of chemo at the time. When he was first diagnosed, I was 17 years old, about to make the biggest decision of my life, college. Deep down, I wanted to double major in psychology and English at some warm-weather liberal arts school, dabble in philosophy, and take my time figuring out what I would do with my life. But instead, I did what I thought my parents wanted me to do. I thought, I was sure, that they wanted me to start earning money right away, supplanting my father's income and rescuing the family from imminent financial ruin. So I chose an in-state university, studied business, and while my peers worked in restaurants and retail, I started a house painting company. When his cancer came back for good, I worried that he would die without knowing that I could accomplish exactly what I had assumed he wanted me to do, to provide for the family after he was gone. So in a moment of panic, I checked my savings account, I called up a local dealer, and bought the aforementioned Audi in a misguided, absurd, grandiose gesture. Which brings us back to my driveway, post-joyride. We stood there together, between my new car and his old one, a 1993 trusty teal tank of a Volvo station wagon. He put his hand on my shoulder and said the last thing in the world I expected. "My dear Elon, enjoy it. But know this, I was planning all along to give you the Volvo." He died a month later. But it wasn't his death that flipped my world upside down. It was that last, subtle, yet profound piece of advice given to me in our driveway that day. This life is too short to make choices based on what we think others want from us. We must do those things in the world that we love to do and have faith that the rest will work out.
Elon Babchuk decided to follow his passion and is now a rabbi at Temple Emmanuel in Providence. And these days he drives a sensible family sedan and loves nothing more than hitting the road and exploring the world with his wife Lizzie and their son Micah, who, significantly, is named after his late grandfather Michael. To offer your own essay or to listen to previous segments, we invite you to visit the This I Believe Rhode Island page of our website, ripr.org. For Rhode Island Public Radio, this is Frederick Reber.